Thanks, Sean, for that great reading. We were just talking about cabins in the woods this morning in our small group and how we experienced God at cabins in the woods. So that was very appropriate. There was lots of smiles around here when you made that statement, when you read that from the message. Great. Well, we're going to dive in. We're not going to look a lot at the actual words about Psalm 55. This morning, but you can keep your Bibles open there if you want to. We're going to be more focused on this idea of lament, something that we've talked about a couple times, and something that Psalm 51 to 60 is full of. There's a lot of different kinds of lament in Psalm 51 to 60, and so I thought we'd just focus again on that a little bit this year. Of course, as a congregation, we've talked about lament. Krista, the beginning of last year, talked about her experience with lament on a personal retreat day and gave us some structure for lament. Then we spent a sermon talking about it. We did a lament as a congregation. So we're not going to rehash all of that together this morning. But we are just going to talk about the importance of lament for God's formation in our lives and why, again, that is so important in our own journey. And as David wrote many of the laments, maybe it would be helpful just to remind ourselves of the life of David a little bit. So that's how we're going to start, just giving a quick bird's eye view of some of the things that David experienced. So you remember when we first meet David, right? You can read the stories of David in 1 and 2 Samuel primarily. We meet David because Samuel has come to his dad's house. And you remember this, right? Saul is rejected as king because he doesn't know how to lay his life down and surrender himself to the purposes of God. Although, as one other leader told me this week, he said, I was reading the story of Saul, you know, and I kind of feel for Saul as a leader. You know, he's getting attacked, and Samuel's late, and he's feeling this pressure, so he goes ahead and sacrifices, and then he gets blasted by Samuel when he comes. He's like, you have a little grace, God? You know, he's under a lot of pressure. But the point is that his heart is not focused on God. It's focused on himself. So Samuel comes to Jesse's house, and he says to Jesse, God has told me to anoint one of your sons as the next king. And we remember this story. Jesse brings out his sons. First one is strong and handsome, tall, just like Saul was when Samuel anointed him. And Samuel says, yes, this is the one. And of course, God says, oh, it's not. Next one comes all the way through the line. And Jesse says, that's it. And Samuel says, I haven't found him yet. Don't you have any more sons? And then he says, oh, yeah, there's David. But he doesn't really count, does he? Samuel says, bring him. And Samuel anoints him. God says, this is the one that I have chosen. So we start to see the first picture we have of David is rejected and forgotten. You can imagine David knew what was going on here. And he knew that he wasn't part of the lineup until Samuel pressed his case. So David, in the same moment, is rejected and forgotten and chosen. Have you ever felt that way? On one side, we remind ourselves that we are chosen by God, and that as we live in the world, we have all these instances where we feel rejected, real or imagined. But he was chosen and filled with God's Spirit that day. Next, we find David playing the harp for Saul, because Saul's been tormented by an evil spirit. David plays the harp, and he brings this incredible relief to Saul. And then he goes to fight Goliath. He wins. And then it says he goes on many more military raids and continues to bring victory to the Israelites against their enemies. So again, we have this exaltation. Wow, this is awesome. And then Saul, remember the famous moment where he throws his spear at him? And then David's on the run. And for the next, I don't know how many years, David is hiding in caves like a fugitive. Again, you can imagine the mixed feelings in David's heart. Here I am giving my best for the people of God, doing everything God wants. And yet, I'm running in caves. People are going to kill me. The king of the whole country is after me. We've been through some hard times recently, but I don't think anybody can imagine what it would feel like to have the entire country army looking for you, ready to kill you at the first time they see you. That's David. So some of the Psalms give us a little glimpse of what was happening when David wrote the Psalms. But as we've been reading through the Psalms just in our family, Michelle's asked a number of times, I wonder what was going on in David's life when he wrote this. And not all the Psalms tell us, but there's, you can imagine, if you read those stories of David and then you read the Psalms, you can imagine some of those situations and what he was feeling. And then, of course, at the end of his life, his son Absalom chases him again and wants to kill him, his own son. And he's on the run again, running for his life after he gave his whole life to do what was right and good. He was imperfect, of course, but his heart was soft and he wanted to follow God. Here's the amazing thing about David, and this is why lament is so important in our journey. David, you remember, when he's on the run, has two opportunities to kill Saul. Saul is at his feet, and all he has to do is take out his sword and kill him. And David doesn't do it. Can you imagine that? Being unjustly hunted like a criminal, and the one who's leading the charge out of pure personal jealousy is at your feet. You can solve the whole problem in an instant. And David chooses not to. So while David wasn't perfect, we do see that David never let his heart be overcome by bitterness or rage. David's heart was always set to do what is right. Now, he made mistakes along the way, but even when the mistakes came to light and he realized what he had done, he was always very quick to repent. So this bitterness, anger, and judgment never got control of David's heart. He stayed in control and chose to do what is right, even when he had the opportunity to let all his anger and bitterness come out. That's all. And I want to submit to you this morning that this is the power of lament. In our world, there is plenty of reasons to be angry, afraid, slighted, insulted, again, whether real or imagined. And if we don't know how to process those experiences well and hand them over to God, they will begin to plant in our hearts and they will begin to come out as bitterness and anger, fear, and all the things that block the flow of the love of God that he wants to pour through our lives. So I asked Rick and Cheryl shared a little bit last week. Is that okay? Do you guys want to share a little? All right. So they're going to share just a couple words about their own experience of lament, especially in this season that we're walking through, because they shared a little bit in our group last week, and so I asked them to share a little bit now. So you guys want to come up and give us your best outside voice? So let's listen to just their experience about lament.
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago, I got to listen to Greg Boyd speak on lament, and kind of identify with him. He's identifies with the Anabaptist, adopted into the Anabaptist. But anyway, so we like to enjoy listening to him, and he's my age, and he has a grandchild that he has not held, and he was lamenting that fact, and I can identify with that. I did hold Hannah, but it's been quite a while, and far being missing those hugs and and just holding the children and grandchildren and hugs the children and parents and shaking hands and meeting together as a group. And also lament, you know, getting older and not being able to do physically things that I used to do. Things don't work quite like I used to, and kind of giving some of those things up. And it's okay. I mean, Greg's sermon was on lamenting A to Z, and sometimes to give the example of using that is saying sometimes we lament A, B, C, and then we skip to Z because we shouldn't be in that lament. You know, we should be walking in the joy of the Lord, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We should be going there right away, and that same spirit that dwells in us should is in me, so I can overcome those things. But I think God wants us to come before him and let him hold us for a while, and then we can lament in that, in those things that we missed, and they're difficult things to do. They are the difficult things to give up, and sometimes you don't But, you know, David, Troy alluded to this morning, David many times lamented what the difficult things he had to go through. And yeah, it's important to do that, to lament and for a time, and let God hold us in those times.
So the week that he heard that sermon would have been the week that we were in Psalms and 30 chapters. Mm-hmm. And what I was feeling God telling me is like rejoicing in hope. Mm-hmm. And some of the verses from Psalms 30, 31, 24, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. 33, 20 and 22, we wait in hope. In him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. So it was Sunday morning that I was, you know, thinking on this, rejoicing in hope. And I went down to, you know, in the morning, see what Rick was doing. And he had just listened to this lament sermon. He's there in tears. And I'm like, we're supposed to be rejoicing in hope. But anyway, he had me listen to the message then, and I just really felt like I needed to allow myself to go there. And so it was that week. I had already asked off on Tuesday because I just felt like behind on stuff. So I had Tuesday off, and I had just planned I'm going to just clean the basement. That morning I woke up, and I had such a – well, one of my devotions was talking about oppression. And I really felt that on me that morning. And so I called Marianne and went over and she prayed with me. And then I went home and spent the day in the basement lamenting, cleaning my basement. And after that day, I can say I really felt, like you were saying, like it can be a stronghold on us, mm-hmm. and take us down deeper. Mm-hmm. Things that we can't control, you know, but yeah, we can't control them, but it's like... just being able to let Jesus hold us and to be in that place of lament, but then not stay there. And I definitely felt this burden lifted from me. I had a clean basement and I had a clean heart, and I could go back to rejoicing in hope. So.
That's right. Oh, great. Thank you so much, Rick and Cheryl. Beautiful. That's a beautiful testimony. And that's a great illustration of, again, why lament is so important. Because if we don't, we can easily, even as Rick said, jump past it. Oh, that doesn't feel good. I don't want to stay in that. Let's just forget it and move on. Stuff it and move on. And the problem with that is we can probably move on, but that stuff doesn't leave us. And then it just sits in there, and we know what happens, right? It gets bigger and bigger, and it begins to clog our ability to see people in the love of God, because of the things that we've experienced that feel like injustices or insults or just difficulty, again, whether real or imagined. But part of the freedom, just as Cheryl so beautifully illustrated, comes when we're able to receive that, look at it, lament it, just like David did, and then with Jesus, offer it back to him. Now we can allow that place that was wounded and bitter becomes a place where we actually can carry the grace and love of God in our hearts. It's not only that we get over it, but it actually gets better, because now we know the love and the grace of God in deeper ways than we did before we lamented. It's a beautiful thing. And if you don't believe me, you can talk to Rick and Cheryl more after the service. I've heard a number of people say in the last couple of weeks that this time has some similarities to fasting. Because in fasting, if you've ever practiced that, you know the pressure goes up. The burden goes up. We choose to limit something that makes our bodies feel good. And when we do that, all kinds of reactions come out of our heart. And part of the purpose of fasting is that those things can come out. We can see them. We can offer them to God, and he can change us. Now, of course, fasting is usually chosen. And this situation, of course, was not chosen by any of us. And yet, there is a reality that this there's things that come out of our heart, as we've talked about before. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us through lament and offering those things to God and receiving his grace and peace, then these kinds of situations actually help us to grow
and get deeper into the heart of God rather than further away. And we just want to remember that these things of letting our hearts be filled with the life of God really is the core walk of discipleship. What Jesus has called us to is, as it said in Ephesians, to live a life of love just as he loved us and gave himself for us. And so when we say yes to follow Jesus, we're saying, yes, that is the life that I want, Jesus. I want to be so filled with the love of God that I can live a life of love and give myself for others just like you did, Jesus. And when we have that vision captures our hearts, then we're able to do the hard work of lament and watching stuff come out of our hearts and offering it to God and being filled with his grace. If we think that that life of love that we tasted a little bit in Jesus is really kind of foolish, not in touch with reality, not really what we want to be about, then we don't have to worry about following Jesus. Now, I know that's a horrible thing for a pastor to say. But we need to be reminded that that's the end game. That's where Jesus is leading us. And so if that's not where we want to go, then of course following Jesus is going to feel kind of foolish. And we'll never have the motivation or the tools to actually work through the junk that comes in our hearts as we walk with Jesus in this world. And I've told you, I've been trying to be open and vulnerable with my own journey through this whole time, and at church, at home, in a number of different spaces, feeling like the pressure has increased and there's stuff coming out of my heart that needs the grace of God. Done my own lamenting and a lot of sitting with God, talking through why is this coming out of my heart? Why am I reacting this way? And in that sense, it's been a very fruitful time for my own journey with Jesus and growing in love. And I've tried to be vulnerable because I want us to see real examples of how this actually works in people's lives. But I should stop here and say that in the last number of weeks, as I've shared these my own journey in different ways, we have also felt many of you living lives of love and letting that pour back into us. And we have tasted of the love of God in so many different ways the last couple of weeks from you guys, from so many of you, saying you're praying for us in cards or emails or treats that you give us or all kinds of different ways that we just feel like, wow, we have been also recipients of lives of love from so many of you. And we're so grateful for that. So we're coming through this time. I don't know what coming through this time means. Of course, we don't know what the future is, but we're at this space right now in a much healthier space than we would have been. I'm sure the grace of God would have carried us, but we're at a much better place because of so much love that we've received from so many of you. And that's how this works, right? The more that we allow ourselves to be filled with the love of God and that flows through us, the more other people around us get to taste of the love of God and the more they get filled up with the love of God. And that becomes this multiplying effect of what Jesus wants on the earth. People, a group of people that are wholly his, filled with the love of God, ready to live lives of love like he loved us. Isn't that beautiful? And heaven is going to be the place where the love of God and the life of God is so fully revealed that all of us are surrendered to it and we live in it. So it's another good reflection, right? If we don't like the little taste of the love of God that we got in Jesus, then we have to wonder if we'll really like heaven, you know? Because heaven is going to be just more and more and more of that all together. So today I want to encourage us as we think about the things that are in our hearts. How are we allowing the life of God to come into those places that are hard and difficult? Because whenever we receive pain or loss or injustice or insult or whatever it is that comes and makes us feel somehow unloved, there's the opportunity for seeds of bitterness and anger to get planted in our hearts. And if we're not willing to look at that, process it, and give it back to God so his grace can fill us, then those things are going to be in there and they're going to fester. And they're going to take us away from the love of God that he is inviting us to. So today I'd just like to end with reflecting a little bit on that. Of course, as Paul said in Philippians 3, that he's not, all these things that he's writing about, he hasn't attained it yet. But he is pressing on for that goal, that his life would be so filled with the love and life of God, that that's all that would come from him in every moment of his life. So I want to encourage us today to continue to say yes to that journey, to not give in to the easy way of blaming, of anger, of fear, of saying, this is the problem out there. Of course, there may be things to fix out there, but also taking the time to say, what's in here? What's in here that needs to be fixed? And how does lament help me to see the injustice or the pain or the insult that I've experienced and offer that back to God? So I would challenge you this week to just take some time and, as Rick and Cheryl did, just think about what has the pain that's come in my life longs, whether it's because of all the kind of social disruption with COVID or whether it's other things. Take a good hard look at it and write your own lament to God about that, and then receive his grace so that those things don't become blocked in the love of God flowing through our lives. Let's just take a moment as we end here of just quiet reflection. Just ask the Lord, sit with this question before the Lord. God, are there any areas of my life, even this morning, that I'm carrying of pain, insult, loss, that I can offer up to you this morning? Take a moment and sit with God on that question. Yes, Lord, as we sang this morning, we're asking this morning that you would again create in us clean hearts, God. Renew right spirits within us. We know that's a process, God. As we walk with you, you continually take us deeper and deeper, renewing us, changing us, cleaning us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your compassion, that you believe if we will say yes to you, you can actually form us into people that love like you do. That you can actually form us into people that down to the very center of our being is nothing but love. You can do that in us, God. And this morning, we just want to say yes to that again, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, when we choose the angry right, the easy way of blaming or anger or insulting and destroying others, God, because of our pain and our loss. And we're asking today, God, that you would teach us how to be in this broken world with all the pain that it brings to us and continue to offer it back to you. And even would you make us courageous enough, God, to spend time with you and with others that we love and trust to look at the things that we've already received into our hearts, that are deep within our hearts, even from years ago, Lord, and allow you to bring cleansing and healing, life to those areas that have been dead and wounded. But we cannot do this without your Spirit, but we are asking for your Spirit, God, to lead us into it as we say yes to you. Lord, I want that. Lord, I want to continue to see the areas of my heart that are not controlled by your love and to allow you to fill them afresh. Do it in me, God, I pray. Do it in all of us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll end with just a few announcements in a minute, but I just, anybody have any reflections, things that you're thinking, feeling that you want to share with the rest of the group here this morning as we've thought about lament and the way it allows us to be filled again with the love of God? Anybody have any thoughts you want to share? All right, well, hopefully those things are keep stirring in our hearts as we walk with Jesus this week. Don't forget, next week I'd really love to have one or two people present a psalm to us. So if there's a psalm you've been memorizing, or an art project you have about a psalm, or a couple words that you want to share about a psalm, we're definitely going to give some. There'll be an invitation to do that, or if you know you want to do it, please let me know, and we'll make sure we can hopefully spread them out through the summer. But if you have something that you'd love to share with us, we'd love to hear it about one of the psalms, either that we've read or that you jumped ahead and found. And the psalm reading for this week is 61 to 70. So let's meditate together on Psalm 61 to 70 as we go throughout this week. Also, next week, some of you saw an email that as a lead team, we've been continuing to process, hearing people's feedback, looked at the survey from last week. Thank you for everybody who gave feedback. And so next week, we pushed up the timeline a little bit so that because of what we've heard from the feedback. So next week, we'll be meeting in the pavilion. Anybody who wants to meet in the pavilion for an in-person service, we'll gather there. We'll still have it on Zoom. And like we said in the email, everybody will still kind of try to have a hybrid service so everybody can feel a part as much as possible. So if you'd rather stay on Zoom for whatever reason, you're welcome to do that. If you'd rather meet at the pavilion, you're also welcome to do that. So that's going to start next Sunday, June 21st, for our 10 a.m. service. Our group is also going to meet at the pavilion for our small group at 9 o'clock. And just like the email said, we'd like to continue to have at least some common understandings. Some people are ready to meet with no precautions. Some people still want to be a little more careful. So we're not going to pass any offering plates, not sharing any food, of course. We'll have hand sanitizer, try to keep distancing. We've heard a lot of feedback that masks are no go. So we're going to let people choose if they want to wear masks or not. So that's one adjustment from what we had announced earlier. Again, we'd love to see this continue to be ways that we can serve each other. And this is another great way to learn how to lay our lives down in love for those around us. And so let's try to find ways to do that in helpful ways to make everybody feel like they can be a part safely. And also the prayer group on Tuesdays is going to start meeting at the pavilion starting this Tuesday. So they'll be at the pavilion outside as well for our prayer group on Tuesday. And as we said in the email, there'll be a PowerPoint with the Monday email that you can look at, as well as on the website. So you'll be able to see any of these details or let us know if you have questions. Lots, as many different opinions as what we should do now there are about what's going to happen in the months to come. So I just invite us all to continue to pray, to walk humbly with what God's telling us, talking to us as lead team as we try to navigate all the different information and happenings. We thought if we took just 1 month plan, we would have a short enough plan to be able to adjust, but even 2 weeks, things are moving so fast that it's hard to keep up. So continue to pray for us, and continue to pray for all leaders that are trying to make decisions in this time. And don't forget to sign up for the clothing giveaway coming up in a week and a half. All right, any questions or thoughts about that, those announcements just at the end here? All right. Well, let's, our verse today was from Psalm 55, and I encourage you to sit with that as you go, and if there's any words in there that help you to express your lament to God, to use those as a kickoff to get into your own thoughts. But I just bless you with the very end of Psalm 55. In all the chaos, in all the mess, David ends with this simple statement: "But as for me, I will trust in you." And I would just love if we could say that all together from the places where we are. I know we won't be able to hear everybody that's muted, but just out loud, let's just say that simple line: "But as for me, I will trust in you." Let's say it together. "But as for me, I will trust in you." May the Holy Spirit make that a reality in all that we do this week. Amen. Amen. All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. And we will see you as we go through the week. Amen.